grateful you, if you would, this morning, the precious word of God, and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. It's toward the end of the New Testament, just a few short books before the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. You'll find 1 Peter and then the second epistle of Peter is where we are, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue this morning with the message that we have been dwelling on for a couple of messages now, and that is the believer and his faith, or faith and the believer. Faith and the believer. We spoke last Sunday morning, and then before that it had been several weeks because of my vacation, and then we spoke again Sunday night, so those who were here last Sunday morning didn't get to hear the finish of that message Sunday night. But I'll review for you quickly, and then we will go on and try to finish this thought with God's help. We'll begin reading now in chapter 1 and verse 1, 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. Follow along as I read. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where we'll end our reading this morning. Peter, in the very first part of this chapter, reminds us of the things that we've received and how we receive them. He uses the word through three times. And he mentions that there is a channel, a means by which we obtain. So first of all, in chapter 1, in verse number 1, he talks about that we've obtained a like precious faith. Faith comes through, notice, the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He died for the sins of man. And his righteousness is afforded to and accounted to those who put their faith and trust in him. But Peter is writing to those who have trusted or believed upon Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and says, you have, through his righteousness, you've obtained, you've been given the gift of faith. Faith is the gift of the believer, or what we've received through the righteousness of Christ. Then he mentions in verse number 2 the possibility of us having a multiplied, think on that word for a moment. I like multiplication when it comes to money, especially. I like multiplication rather than adding. I'd rather multiply than add, but I can have the multiplication of grace and peace. But that comes through a channel. Not this time the righteousness of Christ. That's where my faith came. But it comes through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Notice he's called Savior in verse 1. He's called Lord in verse 2. I need to know more about Jesus, that he's more than just a Savior. He's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's the one who's to rule my life, who's to be my master. I'm to be his disciple and his servant. But I can have a multiplication of grace and peace through the knowledge of God and of Jesus. Look at verse 3. I'm told that I am given everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything I need to be godly and to enjoy abundance of life and fullness of life is available to me through, again, the knowledge of Him that called me to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I get a multiplication of grace and peace. Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is given unto me great or exceeding great and precious promises, given to me everything I need to be holy, to live a life that's pleasing to God, that's to live a life that's full and abundant. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now I want to go back for a moment to verse number 3 and lead back into verse number 4 and tell you how I believe the Spirit of God has led me to understand these verses. Because when I read verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, I don't find anything in the context that is the source of great and precious promises. The Bible is full of great and precious promises for the believer, and they're to be claimed by the believer. But I'm going to point out to you that I believe that these precious, exceeding great and precious promises come through the knowledge of Him, that is the knowledge of Jesus, that called us to glory and virtue. Jesus said in His earthly ministry, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, I will call men unto me. I will appeal to men. Men will be drawn to me. And in me they find a man, and yet a man that is righteous, a man that is fully surrendered and obedient to God. Jesus, according to Scripture, was fully man and fully God. When we look at Him as a man, it says to us what God has made possible to us as men. God can be for us what He was in Jesus if we will submit ourselves and surrender. So I'm called by the life of Jesus, and through His life as a man in this earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. He indeed, of course, was the Son of God, but I'm speaking of Him as a man, indwelt by, led by, and submitted to the Holy Spirit. I see what I can be. Exceeding great and precious promises are made to me in Christ, that I can prevail, that I can be victorious, that I can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, that I too can partake of the divine nature. So we talked last Sunday morning about faith being a progress in the Christian life. Faith is not a one-time event. I believe upon Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. That's not where faith ends. That's not its beginning and end. It begins there. It's the foundation. But then there are several stages of faith. And I won't re-preach that message to you, but we talked about Jesus saying to His disciples one day, how is it that you have no faith? They were believers. They were believers, but believers who had no faith. And then He addressed them one day as believers who had little faith. So you can be a believer and have little faith. But then we talked about a third phase, growing faith. Little faith is still good because faith is faith and faith pleases God. And little faith can grow, especially even faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, we learned last week, can become a great tree. God can bless it, and nothing is impossible to those who have that little faith. But faith needs to be growing, needs to be increased. And the disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith, that their faith might grow. Then we talked about wavering faith. The problem with a believer is that we're not always set, settled, sure, steadfast in our faith. Our circumstances begin to trouble us. Maybe the questions of others begin to eat away at our faith, and we waver a bit. And James talked about wavering when he encouraged us not to waver in our faith. Peter was wavering in his faith, and the Lord Jesus said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And we talked about some of the reasons for wavering faith. Love of money, pride of learning, listening to false teaching. So I want to preach that again, but there is wavering faith. And then we move to strong faith. Not necessarily large faith, but strong faith. And little faith can be strong faith. We're encouraged by Abraham's example, who was strong in faith. He did not allow the obvious evidence of the deadness of his wife's womb or of his age to hinder his confidence that God could and would give him a seed of his wife that would be multiplied like the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. He was strong in faith. He staggered not. And we basically said that strong faith is faith that is always being planted and watered or exercised. Faith is the life we're supposed to live every day, trusting a living faith or a living trust in God. And we plant the seed of faith, and like that mustard seed planted in the ground, as we water it, as we continue to engage in faith, it begins to blossom, it begins to grow. So I gave you two things that will help you to have or develop strong faith. Number one is constantly engaging or embracing the truth. The truth is what sets men free. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, beloved, make much of your Bible. Read the Bible. Read the words of the living God. Become familiar with who God is and what God has done and what God wants to do. And as you engage and embrace the truth, the more you read it, the more you ponder it, the more you consider it, the more your faith is increased, the more your faith grows, and your faith becomes stronger, not because you have any confidence in yourself, but because you become more familiar, more acquainted with the one who is the source of your faith and your faith in whom is resting your faith. And so you engage and embrace the truth. And secondly, our faith is strengthened by enduring testing. Faith is always tested. Sometimes tested by God, not for the purpose of disproving it, not for the purpose of destroying it, but for the purpose of strengthening it, for the purpose of improving it. And then faith is tested by the enemy. And faith ought to be tested by ourselves. And I don't have time to re-preach all of that. I want to go to one further thought this morning in this conversation about the believer and his faith. No faith, weak faith, growing faith, wavering faith, strong faith. All of those are doubtless stages that you find yourself privy to. You find it true to your own experience. But let's talk about what God wants, the kind of faith God wants. And that's a fruitful faith. A fruitful faith. Look at verse number 5, if you would, please. After talking about all those things that we've been given and all those things that we have and all those things that we enjoy, beside this, giving all diligence. I want to stop there and ask you to underline or circle the words giving all. Giving all. That's my part. If you remember back in verse number 3, God has already given all. God has given unto us, that would be me, I trust that's you if you're a believer. God has given unto us all things. He has given all. He has given everything we need. All the resources are available. Everything is there. So since he has given all, then we then must step up to the plate and we must give all. Give all diligence. What Peter is aiming to do here, I believe, by the help of the Holy Spirit, direction of the Holy Spirit, is he's aiming to excite and engage believers to grow, to go forward in the likeness of Christ. Telling them, look, you've obtained the same faith that I obtained, that it's a precious faith, and you've been made partaker of the divine nature, and unto you has been given everything you need. Now you give your all to what has been given to you. And when you give your all to what has been given to you, then you will have a fruitful faith. It will bear fruit. I read someone's comment. They said, the oil and the flame are given wholly by God's grace. So thinking of a lamp now, the oil and the flame. So the lamp representing the individual, representing the believer, the oil, the Holy Spirit, and the flame has been given by God's grace and received by believers, and now it's ours to keep the lamp or to trim the lamp, to care for what's been given to us. If you think about it, let's think about air, the quality of air. Everybody needs air. We breathe, and oxygen is important. The purity of air is also important. But what is necessary for air to be pure? Activity. The movement of air, the activity of air. When air is trapped and there is no activity, it becomes stale. It becomes unprofitable air. Left alone, it becomes stagnant, and we don't want that. But in the same thing is true in water. Water that is left stagnant, if there's no movement, if there's no activity, then it becomes stagnant and odious and undesirable. So faith is like that. If your faith is not active, if your faith is stagnant, if you're a believer, yes, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you stop right there, and you do not give diligence to take advantage of all those things He's given you that pertain to life and godliness, your faith is going to produce a stagnant, odious type of Christianity. But if you want it to be fruitful and vibrant and healthy, there needs to be activity. So giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now think about this word diligence. What Peter's saying is you must seize the opportunity. You must seize the moment. The idea of diligent in the original is not so much paying careful attention, although that's there, but it's more make haste. Do you remember when we read the story of Mary being visited by the angel and told she's going to bear the Christ child? And she makes haste because she also hears about her cousin Elizabeth being with child. So the Bible says she made haste and went to visit Elizabeth. That's the same word that's here, diligent. When we're diligent, we're paying attention. We're being hasty. We are eager to do it. There's expectancy. We are making an effort. So the idea is to push every moment with continuous effort, to allow for no hindrance, no delay. The Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now is the accepted time. So to be diligent means no procrastinating, no playing around, being earnest, giving your mind, your heart to what you're doing. Can I ask you a simple question this morning? If you are a believer and you've obtained with Peter like precious faith, and it's precious faith that saves the soul, brings with it exceeding great and precious promises, are you adding to your faith? And in so doing, let me ask you further, are you giving all diligence? Are you taking all pains, making all haste? Are you doing everything you can? Are you laboring at it? Are you working at adding to your faith? What does it mean to add to your faith? I want you to think of faith as the foundation. As you become a Christian and you lay the foundation of your Christian life and the foundation of the life of faith is Jesus Christ. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the foundation, and we're building upon that foundation. Our faith is in who? It's in Jesus Christ. So faith is the foundation. A foundation is that upon which everything else rests. The foundation is that upon which you build. You affix everything to the foundation. The foundation is crucial to the building of the structure. So everything rests upon and everything stands upon the foundation. But you don't just lay a foundation. You go on and build. And so we've laid the foundation of faith in Christ. Now add to your faith. When you get paint made at the paint store, if you please, you'll get a can that already has liquid in it, and you think it's paint, and in truth it is, but it's not done. It's really just the base. It's really the foundation. It's the base. And then you add to that what you want to make the color that you desire, right? To get the desired effect, you have to add to the base. So that's the idea of adding to your faith. As a builder adds a stone to a stone upon a foundation, or even as a plant adds a cell to another cell in structure and growing. So really, when we think about adding to our faith, there's two things going on. There's one that's active and one that's passive. Active and passive. As I am actively engaging and embracing the truth, learning the truth, studying the truth, practicing the truth, then I am actively exerting effort and I am building by my activity, I'm building faith. I am growing in faith. I'm adding to my faith. But then inside of me, unseen by me, through the reading of Scripture, through the attending of church, through the fellowship of believers, through communion with the Lord in the garden, as we sang about this morning, unconsciously, unseen by me inside, I'm adding to my faith. My faith is growing. My faith is multiplying on the inside. So there's both the active part and the passive part. Active exertion and passive trusting. It's me working out my own salvation as a co-laborer with God by being obedient to Him. And it's God working in me both to do and to will of His good pleasure. Christian, we are called upon to add to our faith and to do it with all diligence. All diligence. Does your life have a plan? Do you have a building in mind? Do you have a destination or goal that motivates you, that you're trying to reach, and that's what determines what you are doing in the Christian faith? The idea here is to develop one of these virtues or characters or aspects of faith in the exercise of the other. So every new grace springing out of the other, attempting the other, and perfecting the other. Now, before we go into what these are, let's skip down to verse number 8. After he mentions all of these things that we are to add to our faith, he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we need has been given to us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but knowing is not going to produce the kind of faith and the kind of victory that you need in your Christian life. But he said, if you add to your faith these things and you discover that these things are now in you and abounding, you will discover that you'll no longer be barren, which means to be idle, unproductive, or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says, in you. These things be in you, internally, not externally. But he said, if they're not in you, verse number 9, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Or if you please, you're short-sighted. It's possible for you to be a believer, and the reason you're struggling so much in your Christian life is because you can't see afar off. You have no vision of the future. You're not focused on heaven. You are still looking at the world. You're still living in the world. The world is still your home. It's all about what's here and what's now. He says, he's blind, he can't see afar, he's short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Then he again encourages us to diligence, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. In verse number 5, he said, giving all diligence. He said, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Let me stop there. My calling and my election as a Christian came from God. He called me. He chose to save me. The calling and election are sure in that sense, in that they're already accomplished. That was God's work. But he's saying to me as a believer, Peter's saying to the Christians of his day, look, you need to give diligence in adding to your faith or in growing, building upon the faith you put in Christ. You're now saved. You know Christ, but God has given you in Christ everything you need to grow and to become fruitful and prosperous. And if you don't do that, you will be anemic. You will be unhappy. You will be unsure, uncertain. Look at the next verse where he says in verse 12, or verse 11, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. If you will give diligence to make your calling and election sure, you'll never fall, and an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lack of joy, the lack of assurance, the lack of certainty in a Christian's life is a result of his lack of diligence, effort, and enthusiasm. That's what Peter's saying. God has given you everything, but you must now give everything. You must devote yourself to the developing of your faith. And let the faith that you've put in Jesus Christ become the faith that develops in you everything that makes you Christ-like. And he said, study him, because it's in the knowledge of him that you have exceeding great and precious promises. He's called you. Now he promises that this can be your reality as well. He's a living illustration of what you can be. So as you get to know him, let your faith develop. And let your faith impact and change all the areas of your life until all of these things that are listed are characteristics of your Christian life or the characters of Christ. In other words, Peter's saying, be sure to do what you should do and be what you should be, and you'll never falter in your faith. You will never give up. You will never quit. It will never be a drudgery to you. It'll never be unreal to you. It will only be real if you are developing and growing in the grace that has already been given you and taking advantage of all that God has given you in Christ Jesus. It's entirely possible that you can be sitting in this room, a believer in Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary, and you can believe in the security of every true believer that they can never lose their salvation, and yet at the same time have no personal assurance of your own salvation. And I'm telling you why. Because you're not giving diligence. You are not actively developing and growing your faith. You are to add to your faith. That's what God calls upon us to do. We don't have time to develop all of these things, but let me just go over them with you really quickly. Add to your faith, first of all, giving all diligence with every serious effort, with haste, without delay. Add to your faith virtue. The word virtue simply means basic moral goodness or excellence. Sometimes we apply it to modesty or purity, but what we're saying is you are demonstrating excellence in that matter or in that area. It also carries the idea of courage. Have you ever heard the scripture verse that says, the righteous are as bold as a lion? You could put, the virtuous is as bold as a lion. But the wicked flees when no man pursues. When your heart is right, when you're clean, when you're virtuous, when you're full of moral excellence and goodness, then you have boldness and courage. That all is encompassed by the word virtue. Think back to the life of Peter, who's the one encouraging us here to add to our faith. Think about when Peter began. And think about if you were to take time to go back and study all the New Testament and watch Peter as he goes through life, I think you'll discover that Peter's telling us what he had to learn. He had to grow in grace. He had to add to his faith. And all the experiences that he has with the Lord Jesus on a day-to-day basis, he is adding to his faith, virtue. And then to virtue, add knowledge. Knowledge is very simple, basic understanding. This is not the knowledge spoken of in the first few verses, which is a surpassing knowledge, an intimate knowledge. This is just basic knowledge. That's why the Bible exhorts us, study to show yourself approved unto God. Listen to me. You do not want to go to a doctor with your health and your life on the line who won't study. You don't want to go to a doctor who won't add to his diploma. He got his degree back 50 years ago. Has medicine changed? Have methods changed? Have treatments changed? You want somebody who gives all diligence to add to what he has if you're going to put your life in his hands. If you're going to fly with a pilot. I mean, most of us know that Peter has now become, or Brother Burl has now become, a pilot for Air Canada, which is his lifelong dream. But he couldn't just walk out of the service of this company into the service of Air Canada and begin to do international flying without adding to his faith or adding to his qualifications. And he has to go to school. He had to study. He had to take courses. He had to learn new things. And I'm sure he's going to have to keep up to date. He's going to have to keep doing that. You understand the idea? In all walks of life, we do it except in the matter of our faith. Is it any wonder that we have so weak, anemic, unenthusiastic, dull Christians? They never serve God. They never teach a class. They never give the gospel to anybody. They never volunteer to wash the dishes. They never volunteer to clean the floor. They never get involved. They're believers only. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they've never added to their faith. They don't study the book to know him, to get to know him better, to see how he lived. And if you did, you'd discover he's a servant. So if you're going to be like Jesus Christ, you're going to have to begin serving. That's who Jesus is. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I assure you there are a lot of folks that come to the New Testament Baptist Church to be ministered unto, but never to minister. That's not what Jesus did. I'm saying, do you want to be fruitful or do you want to be barren? In your faith. You have to add to your faith. Giving all diligence. It's all been given to you. You just have to pay attention to it. You just have to give yourself to what has already been given you. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your knowledge. Add to your virtue knowledge. And then he says add to knowledge temperance. Temperance is self-control. I assure you Peter had to add self-control. If you've read about Peter. Peter was not very good at self-control. He was very impetuous. Spoke out of turn, jumped to the front, found fault with others, boasted of his steadfastness. He had to learn self-control. When you think about the life of the Lord Jesus, you think about a life of virtue. You think about a life of knowledge. Never a man spake like this man. From whence cometh this knowledge? Isn't he just a carpenter's son? And you never question his self-control. Jesus was always in submission to the Father. By the way, temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you've been given the Spirit of God and you are yielding to Him, temperance is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. And add to your temperance, patience. Patience. The ability to endure or to last when difficulties come, when trials come. It means to be steadfast, to be constant. All of these character traits are character traits of the Lord Jesus and are to be character traits that are developing in our life as we add to our faith. Christian living is not just about believing in Jesus. It's about becoming like Jesus. And you were given in Him the calling and the promise, exceeding great and precious, that you too could be a partaker of the divine nature. You could be like Him, a son of God, a child of God. These things can be in you. And if they're in you, then Peter says, you're never going to fall. And you will have an abundant welcome or entrance into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord. But if not, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be blind. You're going to be short-sighted. Add to patience godliness. That simply means being like God. Reverence, respect for God, piety toward God. Add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. That's love of family, love of kin. Love of those who are connected to you or related to you. And then finally, to brotherly kindness, add charity. Charity is the word that describes the love that God is. God is love or God is charity. God is agape. That's the word here. Sacrificial, unconditional love. So as we get to the pinnacle here, we get to the point where everybody we see, everybody that's related to us, everybody in the family of God, we're kind to them. We're loving, we're tender, we're compassionate, we're kind. And to all of those outside, we love them. We show the sacrificial love of God, unconditional love, because God has our faith. You see, you know what it takes for me to respond in love to those who do ill to me? Faith in God. I say I believe in Him. I believe in Him for eternal salvation. But do I believe enough in Him that He will balance the books? He will take care of me. He will settle the scores that I can freely give and freely forgive and freely love the one who's offended me? All of these things that we're talking about here, this list of things, are things that you have to exercise faith in doing. We're patient because we believe, because we trust the Lord. Faith is living trust. We control ourselves, live in self-control. We keep ourselves under control because we trust the Lord will reward us, and that His promises will be true. And we have godliness because we have faith, all of that. So faith is the foundation. We've obtained faith by the gift of God through the righteousness of Christ. The foundation has been laid. All the materials with which we build a productive, fruitful, blessed, happy, wonderful, abundant Christian life have been given to us by the Lord. And they result in the multiplying of grace and peace in our lives. But we must give diligence and add to our faith. We must take pains to grow. We must search the Scriptures. We must stay in fellowship with the saints. We must walk with God. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus is full of promise for you and for me. No fuller promise for Peter than it is for me, or no fuller promise for me than it is for you. We've all been given that in Christ. But what are we doing with it? This is a fruitful faith. That's the kind of faith we're supposed to come to. Going from having no faith to a fruitful faith. Maybe still a small faith, but a fruitful faith is one that's adding, that's growing. That because I am exercising today, living trust in God, I'm becoming more charitable. I'm becoming more kind. I'm becoming more godly. I am exercising more patience. I am showing more temperance. I am pursuing the knowledge of God. I have virtue, character, courage, all of that. Dear friend, I don't want you to go through your days on earth as a Christian not sure of your salvation, not enjoying your Christian faith. It need not be. And Peter tells us why it is that it happens. Add to your faith. Give diligence. Get involved. Get active. Seek a place of ministry and service. You know, if you commit to teaching a class, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to read your Bible. Reading your Bible is going to grow your faith. You're going to have to study your Bible because you want to explain it to somebody else. How are you going to show somebody else what you don't understand? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, the evangelist. Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" But how's Philip going to guide him if he doesn't understand? Right? So getting involved in ministry helps me because it enables me, it makes me walk with God. I spend more time in prayer. I spend more time in the Word. I spend more time with God's people. And in giving of myself, I can never be more like God than when I'm giving. And I am giving, and what's happening is, as I'm giving, the Holy Spirit is replenishing. And so the air is being renewed. The water is being renewed. I'm being kept fresh, and I enjoy my life. I'm telling you, that's the secret. That's what it's all about right there, the believer in his faith. Where are you at? I hope you're first of all a believer. If not, you need to settle that this morning. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, hath life. He that believeth not, hath not life. It begins there. But is that all you are? Just a believer? Is that it? Or are you living by faith? Are you exercising daily trust in God and growing as you trust God so that He can bless you with fruit and joy and multiply in your life His grace and His peace? Father in heaven, would you help us as we ponder these truths? Would you, by your Spirit, lead us individually to make the decisions that are so important for us to make? Lord, some in this room today need to determine, to decide, to believe upon Jesus. He said He was the Son of God who came to pay the sin debt of all mankind. And today, if anyone will believe upon Him, turning from their sin, trusting Him for eternal salvation, He will save them. Help them to believe. Help them to take that step. And Lord, may those who are in this room clearly would identify themselves as believers. Please, Lord, help them to see whether or not they're growing in faith, adding to their faith. Whether they are becoming fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And may some Christians in this room today commit to go from being just a mere believer, but to being a man or woman who lives by faith, whose faith is active and productive. Father, be glorified in our response. to your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.